Well, here it is, Sunday morning, and we need to hear from God.
Amen.
Amen. But I like hearing from Him every day of the week. How about you? Today we come corporately. We're going to look at His scriptures a little bit here, and just some things that have come out of a couple of Tuesday nights back, and this week I've been sharing with a few other people, and it just kind of came back into my spirit again. And I want to let you know, as far as what we're looking at today is, there is a way. There is a way. As we go through life, we each could share on the challenges that we've had to endure at one time or another. As a matter of fact, we could be, even some here today, going through a particular challenge this very moment. That's kind of like what we call life. That's what we call, you know, continuing to, I guess, praise God, I'm still got, you know, air in my lungs to breathe, that, you know, I'm going to have different things happen in my life that I'm going to have to work through, deal with, and realize that the way I'm going to deal with them is trust God. And so the thing is, we've got to know that there is a way. So how do we handle these things? For us that are followers of Christ, for us that have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, for those that are filled with His Holy Spirit to be led by and to be directed by the Spirit, and as we have the Spirit to where when we read His Word, the words actually are not just words, they're life. And that's a big difference for those that maybe go through their life and maybe attend a church of some sort, but they look at this and they just read the scriptures and they believe it all happened back then, and they don't really understand that same power that raised Christ from the dead. If He's in you, He will quicken the mortal body. Amen. And that's what we're walking on today for us that are Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, believing God the Father, believing Jesus Christ the Son, and believing the Holy Ghost is now for us today. We may not understand the event that's taking place or how we will come out of it or through it. A lot of times we, in the beginning, would use our natural mind, our own abilities that God has put within us. It's good. God has given us a mind, hasn't He, to think and to use. And so as we begin to process things and go through things, how are we going to do that? If we have turned to God in the past for our direction, it's probably a good chance that today, if you need direction, you're going to be turning back to who? God. He helped me back then. I'm sure He'll help me now. We've learned early on. But the one scripture that started this, or it's one of many, but it's about one of two or three, let's look at it that way, is back in Isaiah 55, 6. Isaiah 55, 6. The title above chapter 55 in my Bible says it's an invitation to abundant life. Isaiah 55. So as we look at this, I'm going to go just to 6. And it says this: Seek the Lord, and this is in the New Living, seek the Lord while you can find Him. Call on Him now while He is near. And New King James, it says, Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. I think initially as we get started on this and we're trying to find there is a way, the thing that we want to do first and foremost, generally, if something's going on and you need help through a public official, through whatever the case might be, you got a noisy neighbor or a barking dog, or you see somebody, you know, possibly breaking into a house, what is the first thing you're going to do? You're going to call for help. You're going to call 911. You're going to contact somebody that can put somebody in connection with what you've got going on to come and take care of or be aware of the situation. If you have a loving member or whatever and you see somebody out in the street and they pass out on the street, the first thing you're going to do is go home and think about it. Well, gee, what do I do now? You're going to call for help. Again, you're going to call the emergency center and let them know that someone needs medical attention. When things happen in our lives and our walk and things come across our path, what is the first thing you're going to need to do? Now, in our natural, we think, I'll take care of it. I've dealt with this, I think, in the past. Or, I don't want to bother God with this now. But the thing is, we find Isaiah saying, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now, while he is near to you. As children of God, do you believe God is near you? Yes, amen. So, especially for us, you know, he's there for us. Isaiah here is telling us to call on the Lord while he is near. God is not planning to move away from us, but we often will move away from him. And so it's times, especially when we move away from him, that the enemy likes to come in a little bit too and maybe get a little bit more in our face, maybe a little bit more in our situation. And a lot of the enemy, all he's going to do is, you can handle it yourself. You don't need God. You're big and strong. You've got an understanding. You've got a brain. You can take care of it. But God does not move away from us, but we will move away from him, and we put up barriers or a barrier between him and us. And a lot of times that barrier is going to be some form of sin. A little bit leavens the whole loaf, amen? Talks about the leaven and making bread. We find out that the sin that could get between us, it may not be seriousness of sins. It could just be a time where you didn't spend time with him. He's asked you to be with him, and you said, I don't have time right now. You're my second go-to if I need something. You've put God second. You're not leaving him number one in your life. It could be sin. It could be you gossiped. It could be you did this. It could be you did that. Whatever the case might be. And the thing is, as I was sharing and talking this past week with someone, I don't know who it was, but as we all come into a relationship with God, and I think for us here today, we realize that God is going to deal with each of us individually where we're at with the sin that's in our life, that's that barrier between him and me. And my barrier, chances are, is different than your barrier or your barrier or your barrier. Our barriers are individualized between us and our God. And God will deal with my barrier pretty well the same as yours, because God is God and he changes not, but we've got to decide how we're going to deal with that. And so, when we go through a situation and we feel that God is a far way off, like, God, where are you now? I need help now. When did you leave me? We will find that he would come back and say, you left me. I didn't leave you. Look in the mirror. You're your own problem. Thank you. But something in our life has placed a barrier between us. And when that happens, God begins to have that separation from us. And generally what will happen is, once we separate ourselves from the things of God, we find ourselves separating more and more to other things that are not of God. The key is not to drift. Not to drift too far. It was always interesting, as years back now, that Pastor Hobart would take me out on his fishing boat, and we'd go up on some of the lakes around Madison, and we'd get out at an area and turn off the motor and just sit there, and it's like, well, the wind's blowing from this direction to that direction, east to west, and we want to fish over this spot, so we'll go all the way, you know, to the, east to west. We'll go to the east part of the lake and just turn off the motor and start casting, and we'll just let the boat drift across to whatever that fishing place is, you know. There's supposed to be fish down there. There's water, you know. And if you are blessed, I guess, and God was going to fill your nets, you might catch a fish or two as you're drifting. And other times, you would realize after about 20 to 25 minutes or 30 minutes, you're going, how in the world did we get over here? You know, and it was that drift. We find the world likes to cause us to drift. The world, I think, is really good at drifting us. And just here, just sit still. It'll be okay. It'll get better. Don't worry. Don't fear. It's okay. And so we begin to sit there, and we begin to take our eyes off of God. And matter of fact, sometimes in that boat, there's probably a lot of good times you just want to take a nap, because it's like, I hope I don't catch anything, because I don't want to have to reel in the line. I tell you that. I know when we went up to the Fishers of Men up in Door County, and we were on the Green Bay area, And we, man, that was like deep sea fishing out there, man. That was crazy to me. And these guys are fanatical, man. They have like three or four poles down each side of the boat, and they got drags out, and they're way out this way, and all that. And then all of a sudden, you know, lo and behold, it'd be that one line that's the furthest one out there that, hey, got something on it. Well, before you can drag it all in, you got to bring all these other two or three lines in first. Clear the path. Yeah, it's like, really? Let's just stop at McDonald's on the way home and buy a fish fillet. Well, chicken fillet. I'd take chicken. I don't care. I can just drive up and order it and go. But it's a hobby, and it's something that they say it's relaxing. To me, it's like I began to pray, I hope I don't catch nothing. Because this line was way out there. We went. This one guy had all of his equipment messed up in a storm a few weeks before that. So he got his insurance settlement, went to a store, and got all new these planer boards. And these are the things that, you know, they're out there planing. They're like a little boat in themselves, you know. They got a little flag and all, and they're just going around. So we unpack all of his gear that's still in the bags. Did you realize there's planer boards that are right side and planer boards that are left side? That's the way they're configured. So we open up this batch of, I don't know how many, and he goes, these are all right side plane boards, or whatever, one side or the other of the boat. So we were just fishing on one side of the boat, because we didn't have the right ones to go on that side. It's pretty technical. It's probably why I didn't get into it, you know? It's like, with Pastor, just to throw it over up there in Lake Mendota or Wabisa or something, no big deal. It's like, okay, fine. You got that little detector there that's making noises, womp, 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 womp. And I'm looking at that, and I go, they got little indicators, and then I got a big indicator of a big fish. It's like, he's coming right below us. Look. Trying to entice him. Come and get it. And he probably went by and went, pfft. You know, they don't show fish lips on those things unless they've got them more precise now. But back then, it was just a little schematic of a big fish, little fish, whatever, you know. I think it just builds up the people's hopes that there's fish down there. Because not necessarily because there's fish below you that you're going to get them. It'll even tell you how deep they are and all this stuff. Pretty high tech. But you get out in those places and you just start drifting. And you don't realize time goes by. I also remember up on that bay, that mid-afternoon or so, I think we were just, well, early afternoon, just kind of getting lunch going. And all of a sudden you can start to see the weather's changing. Like dark clouds coming from the west. And the wind, and all of a sudden, lightning. For some reason, you don't want to be on a lake when it's lightning. Gee, go figure that out. And now, this is the same guy I'm with. I only went out, I think, once with this one time. So now he's got not only new equipment, that it's all on right plane boards, so we can only fish on the right side of the boat. Now we got a new boat that he's not totally familiar with, engine and all that stuff. And so we're eating our lunch, and we're looking and go, boy, it's really getting dark over there. Oh, look, there's streak lightning. Isn't that pretty? Oh, it's coming this way. What do you think we ought to do? And you're out there, you don't see land anywhere. It's like, well, I think we ought to pull up the gear and get out of here, you know. So, you know, and we get all that put away, and then all of a sudden he starts it. We go from here to about you guys. It stops. Like, okay. That happens about four or five times. Starts it up, goes about, I don't know, 10 feet, it stops. I go, this is going to take a long time to get off of this bay. Because I don't even see land yet. It's like, it's somewhere over that way. I had my cell phone. I don't know if it would have worked out there. But I was getting ready to call Pastor. Pastor, come and save us. Where are you at? I don't know. I'm out here in the lake. This guy's boat's not working. I don't understand what's going on. Oh, my goodness. We can see the storm coming. I mean, we were getting prepared to deal with it, but yet he wasn't familiar with what he had. Well, I came to find out that it had to do with an oil shutoff valve or something like that needed to be opened up more or turned, I don't know. How did it turn off because we got out there. I don't understand it. But anyway, something was not turned on when it should have been. Once we figured that out, we were able to get off the lake, and I was thanking Jesus all the way across. Looking for him to walk across there. It's okay, Tim. Come on out. Come to me, Tim. Come to me. It's like, okay. But as we saw the danger approaching, you know, we thought we had all the things under control, that we could handle it. But I'm going to tell you, thank God, because I'm sure we were all in that boat praying. I know I was, and I was two inexperienced people on the lake. I think maybe Kurt was somewhat familiar, but probably just a little bass boat just going out in a little puddle, you know. And who's this guy put in charge of the GPS? Kurt. And Kurt, he said something, well, I'll do it. And he's up there. Hey, now you got this GPS. It should show us our directions. All of a sudden, we found out we started going in circles. And Kurt didn't quite understand the whole thing. He goes, I don't know. It's going, I don't know. So that kind of was a, Kurt and me, we're out there. We're just having a ball laughing because we're just having fun just like messing up. It's like, we don't understand this at all, even though our lives are on the line, you know. Oh, inexperience, not knowing what to use and how to use the things that you have at your disposal. We look at the things that God has at our disposal, and the only thing that I know that God has at our disposal that I need to use is Him, God. I just need to have God. How about you? I don't have anything else need of. I just need you, God. But I need to know Him. I need to know how to get that relationship with Him so that when that storm comes into my life, that I know how to turn to Him and what I need to do. And He's made it pretty clear in His Word about these things of softening our heart, and He'll put a new spirit in us, and, you know, renewing of your mind, and set your mind on Christ, and all of these things that He has given us to do and to have the ability to build that relationship with Him. But on the other side of that is He is wanting that ability to build His relationship with us. And He's wanting to build that relationship with us really more than we want to build with Him, because He sent Jesus to die for us before we even came to any realization that where we were at. But God said, I love you so much that I'm going to send my Son. We've been estranged because of the sin in the garden, but I'm going to reconcile you back to me. And I'm going to give you my righteousness, God says, and His holiness, God says. It's all Him going into us, amen? But we want to somehow not always do that. We want to keep some of ourselves, or thinking we can do some of ourselves a little bit with Him, and we can't do that. We've got to seek the Lord while I can find Him, and I've got to call on Him while He is near. Because that storm is coming across that lake. That clouds are on the horizon coming this way. And I go, oh, that's the storms in the natural. What about those storms in the spiritual? What about those storms in the physical? What about those storms that come through our life sometimes maybe every week or every couple of times a month that we have just this thing coming across in our path? And it's like, oh my gosh, I've got to deal with this. I'm having to work with that. I've got to figure this out. Why is this happening, Lord? And I can tell you this. I can name several people that are just very strong Christian people that have served Him for years that are going through tremendous trials, and a lot of it is in the physical body. I think Danny had brought up in regards to some things in the Sunday school, even in our body here, as small as it is, there's something in every one of us that's taking place. And I was thinking of the same, of my goodness, it's just an attack of taking place, and it's those storms of life. And somehow we've got to be we've got to first turn to God, but we've got to be an encourager to those around us. We've got to hold up one another. We've got to link arms. We've got to keep everyone in prayer. We've got to pray for their needs and to help them come through this. But we've got to come through this with trusting God that He is still on the throne, that He is still there, that He's not going to leave us, that I am going to be found by Him. Don't drift too far from Him. Psalms 50:15, then call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. Maybe that's the part of it. How many times has we rescued in the past, and we go, whoo, got out of that, thank you. And then we just go on. We don't give Him the glory. We don't share. We don't give that testimony that, God has been so good to me because of this is what happened. What about Psalms 145? The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and he rescues them. This is New Living, all these translations that I'm reading are scriptures. The Lord protects all those who love him, but he destroys the wicked. He protects those who love him. Do you really love him? Yes, I do. Well, how often are you with him? I would say probably on about a 30-day month, I'm probably with him about 10 days. Really? And you love him. Well, I hate to see somebody that you don't love how many times you're with them. So you got a relationship. You got a wife and a husband, you know, talking to each other. How often are you with that relationship with that person of your spouse that you build that relationship? How often do you see them? 5 or 6 times a month? No, every day. 7 times throughout the day. Generally, you start your day with that person. You end your day with that person. You know, and here's the thing, if you're widowed or you don't have a spouse or whatever the case might be, you start that day with God and you end that day with God. It's just the same thing, and we that have spouses should be doing the same thing anyway. We need to start that day with God. We need to finish that day with God. We need to have this love for him that he can look down upon us and say, this person loves me because they're always wanting me to be with them. Love. The Lord protects all those who love him. Philippians says, for God is working in you, giving you the desires and the power to do what pleases him. See, that's the thing too. Lord, I want to please you. And to please you, I'm sure it's going to probably take a strong body or a healthy body, or maybe it's going to be like some that do have these testimonies where they are going through some trials of health situations or paralysis or whatever it might be. And maybe that's how they're going to serve God all of their life. I always at times remember of Johnny Erickson Tata. My goodness, you know, it was an accident that took her mobility. There's a gentleman, I can't think of his name, and he goes way back. But I think he had, I don't know what he had, but he talked kind of like in, you had to really listen to him to talk, kind of like a stutterish type thing. He was always on, well, not always on, but I'd see him on television evangelist, like, I think who it would have been now. Gosh, I wish I remembered. But he would sing Amazing Grace, and it would come out in just a chop because of his speech pattern. But he believed so much what he was singing, Amazing Grace. I was once a sinner, found by him. And so people do have physical situations and abnormalities or a physical deficiency within them, but they see God as still God and serving him with love. Just go out there sometimes and look at some of these individuals that are serving him. I can't think of his last name because it's but Nick whatever, where he was born with no arms and no legs and just a little paddle. I remember running across his testimony several years ago and just listening to it, and it's like, oh my gosh. And I complain about, you know, oh, I can't hear very well at times, my ears blocked up. This guy has no legs, no, you know, no arms, and he waddles and he walks, but he serves God and he gives such a powerful testimony. His dad was a pastor. He came out of a family. And so, you know, we don't understand what we have to deal with on this side of heaven. But when you look at people that are dealing with some stuff that you go, how in the world are they dealing with that in the physical? But boy, do they love God. And they talk about him like they have the most perfect life, and they give him all the glory. Wow. One more, and Jeremiah says this in 32:27, I am the Lord, the God of all the peoples of the world. Is there anything too hard for him, or hard for me, he would say? Is there anything too hard for me? Your situation might be hard for you, but God is saying, there's nothing too hard for me. That's where we've got to turn. We've got to turn to him for those trials and those things that we're going through and the times that we're struggling, because it's not too hard for him. It's hard for us. I'm having a hard time dealing with it. I'm having my own thoughts and anxieties and why and this and that, and I start questioning certain things. But I got to realize, and that's why I turn to God. It's like even physical things that I go through, it's like, Lord, what can I do that you would want me to do to help in a situation? Give me some ideas. And I begin to listen by that of the Spirit. And I believe he begins to feed us some of that information. And it's not that, well, God, I've got to help you heal me. It's not that, because he can heal me supernaturally, instantly. Praise God. But I think it's those times when we go through those things and we begin to ask him, Lord, is there anything, by chance, that I maybe need to do for myself to help this or to cause, a lot of times it's to help keep your healing, you know? You can't have a situation in your life and say, well, Lord, heal me of this disease, and then you keep going out and eating the same greasy hamburgers and french fries and everything fried, and then you're back, you know, with a blocked artery 6 months later. Well, hey, what happened here? Heal me of this, Lord. Boom, you're healed of it. Lord, is there anything that I should do to help, you know, maintain this and to stay healthy? Yeah, eat better, eat healthier. There's nothing too hard for him. Once we call on him, that's only the half. What about the other side of this? Continue in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, he says. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways are far beyond anything that you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. These scriptures are speaking to the people of Israel, but they are speaking to me today. Are they speaking to you? They were foolish to act as though they knew what God was thinking and planning. Oh, I know how you want to do this, God. Here, I'll do it. Oh, you'll do it this way, because that's what happened, and that's what I heard so-and-so share, and that's the way you did it with them. That's how you're going to do it with me. Mm-mm-mm. They thought they knew his plans. We sometimes think we know his plans, and that's dangerous. Just like they, we too need to understand that God's knowledge and wisdom are far greater than ours. When we try to or want to be molded, or having God molded to us. God, come here, and I've got a situation, and this is how I want you to take care of it. And we mold him to that situation. But we need to be conforming to his thoughts and to his ways. We need to, at all times, want to fit into his plan that he has for us. That wonderful plan that God has for you today. Initially, it starts out with that plan of salvation. The plan to come back and to be reconciled back to him. And let's start off on that new step. And then let's continue to walk your path now, God, into all the things that you'd have for me. And I want to understand, Lord, that the thoughts that I've had in the past and things that I thought would be a way to go are not the right way. And I don't really understand you, Lord, but I understand that you are God the Creator. And I look around and I see your marvelous hand of creation over so many things that there's something to this. Wouldn't it be interesting if we had at times as much, I don't know what it would be, the things that God has put into nature, into animals, to watch how they handle life and how they prepare for each season of the time. They just instinctively know it. We have to listen to a weatherman that's 99.9% wrong anyway. We think we need radar to watch the weather. We think we need to watch the sun and all of this and what's happening and all these things to figure out the weather. Then you've got animals and creatures out there that they know when a storm is coming. Remember those dimes back when there was a lot of, we dealt with a lot of like the tsunamis or something like that, or these bigger waves coming in on the islands and stuff. And, you know, it's crazy because the human people, you know, we were right down on the beach watching the thing, thinking, hey, it's okay, look at that pretty wave out there. Oh my gosh, it's still coming. Oh my goodness, look how big it is. By the time that thing was coming, already miles out, generally on those islands, the animals all went for high ground about probably 2 or 3 hours before that thing hit. It's something inherent in them that God has placed in them that they can sense what's taking place. We're supposed to be smarter than them. I don't know. Well, I know we're in the image of God, and God is, so it's not despairing God of anything, but I think sometimes in our thoughts, we disconnect ourselves, and the enemy does a really good job of that because we think we can do it on our own. But if we could just have that intuitiveness and that interaction like nature has with the things of God and creation, boy, oh boy, oh boy. guess what? There'd be no stopping us. I just shake my head the last few weeks when we've started watching some of these shows that I used to watch back when I was growing up. Back in those days, it was Mutual of Omaha, The Wild Kingdom. And now there's like, you know, National Geographic and things like that, and doing these things of animals and how they do stuff. And I sit there and watch that thinking, wow. I rewind it and watch it again. Wow. Interesting. Remember, was it with you guys on a Tuesday night I shared about the mama bear and the female bear and the male black bear? And this black bear, female, had three cubs. This big old male bear is coming across and they can smell. They're coming into my territory. Oh, no. Mama bear tells the cubs they go up this tree. But she realizes that the male bear can climb a tree and get to the cubs just as well. So the mama bear's got to do something else. And she's got to go and confront that male bear, and she's got to pretty well make up his mind that it's not worth coming any closer to this area because I'm going to chew you out or chew you up. And so I'm watching this I'm thinking, oh no, it's not going to fare well for the female, you know, because this male bear is like this, and the female, there's some size weight difference. All of a sudden, the mama bear didn't wait for the male bear to come and do any aggression. The mama bear took the aggression on first and started chasing and heading right towards that black male bear. All of a sudden, he turns around and just starts running. Well, I think most of us guys here today would realize if you see your mama coming at you, you probably run too. You know, don't get an angry female. That's worse than anything, you know. But anyway, this female bear is running and just right at his heels. He's running and she's running after, and she kind of got a little bit of him here and there, and he just kept going. And they, of course, make that commentary like, even though there's a great weight disadvantage, the female bear had more to lose than the male bear had to gain. So in our life, we've got to realize, during our struggles and our fights and the things that we go through, we've got to realize we have got more to gain than what the world has to offer us or what the enemy has to entice us with, right? And we've got to have that same thought that, oh, it seems like insurmountable odds that I'm going to fail, or I don't think this is going to go my way, or I'm not going to come out of this well. But if it's a thing that God has told you to do, if God has planned it and prepared it for you, even though it looks insurmountable and larger than life, but if God has told you to go, what are you going to do? Go! Because you've got more to lose if you don't. You will lose that relationship with God in such a very understandable way, and just a very nurturing way. And to know that He loves us and loves me, and I want to love Him back. We have got to fit into His plans and stop this thing of trying to make Him fit in our plan. And now I want to come, well, I'm not really going to have time to do this here. So as we go through challenges to us, it may look like there's no way through them. But again, knowing God and knowing who He is in our lives will certainly help us and actually give us a leg up, or maybe both legs, amen? We can look at examples throughout the scriptures, but you think of Goliath and you think of David and all of that took place. Remember it as the children of Israel were making that mass exodus from Egypt and Pharaoh was on their heels, you know, chasing them. And if he could have got to them, you know, he would have destroyed them. He had all kinds of chariots and men of war going after him. And then they come to an obstacle. What was that obstacle that they come to? You know, that Red Sea. There's a hindrance in front of you. You're just running and going and staying ahead of your adversary. And then all of a sudden you look ahead and you go, oh boy, we've got a problem. They're coming from behind us. I need to keep advancing this way, but there's an obstacle in my way. And how am I going to, I guess we're going to be doomed down and die. I guess we'll just lay down and that's it. You would possibly go, well, not possibly. You could go to Exodus and read it in chapter 14 about that. And I was going to read that today, but on the time that we're at, you kind of know the story. And feel free to refresh it again sometime this week. Where I want to go is Psalms 77. A couple of Tuesdays back, we were sharing and talking, and I don't know, I was just going through Psalms and came across this, and whatever we were talking about, I shared this, and it answered a prayer or something that somebody was looking for that Linda knew, and the way it was shared, because I read it out of the New Living, the way it had that phrased was what this person was looking for, or remembered it as what she had heard it as at one time, I guess. And it's talking about crying out to God, and we all do that. But it's over in the very last part of Psalms 77. And as you read through this, what it was doing, it was replaying what took place with the children of Israel and Pharaoh and what was taking place with Egypt and whatnot. And so it comes into that Psalm of 77. And remember, as they were going to the Red Sea, there's water rushing in. And we find that in our life. We're going and we come into an obstacle that's in front of us, and we all of a sudden look at it and we go, oh boy, I don't know if I'm ready for this. What am I going to do now? I thought, God, you told me to go this way. I thought, God, you were telling me that everything's going to be okay in my life, that you had that plan and that purpose, and I'm not going to fail, I'm going to succeed. And we come into our lives and we go through different things, and we come into an area that's an obstacle. As I was talking to a good friend this past week and shared this, all of a sudden it came out of me because of things that I believe the Lord, and we're just kind of sharing with one another, and it's to be an encouragement to each one of us, and as I was being hopefully an encouragement to them as well. But I said, it'd be like looking out this window here and seeing that, oh, it's all well and groomed, and you can see the path that you'd want to go if you were wanting to go from here to there. But at the edge of all that well-groomed area was a forest and trees, and there was no cut path as you're going that way. But I said, if God were to tell you, take off here and go that direction, you know, when we're going through everything that's manicured and the grass is cut and the bushes and everything, and, oh, there's nothing in my way. This is easy, easy. And then when we would get to that particular obstacle, we might stop and go, now, wait a minute. It was all easy behind me, but now this obstacle is in front of me. This certainly isn't where God wants me to go. God, what is it? What do I do now? Where is my next steps? Where do I take them? And God would say, you keep going forward. But I see a brick wall. I see a cliff. I see whatever. I see, well, as a matter of fact, yeah. I see water. What am I going to do? Keep going. Because in Psalms 77:19, New Living says this, your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew that was there. Wow. Matter of fact, I shared that with last night as we were getting ready to pray. I said, just keep this in mind, because of going through a situation that there's a pathway here that maybe you don't see, but God has it prepared. And God has a pathway prepared for all of us. He has our pathway prepared for our salvation. He has our pathway prepared for when we go through situations in our life. And not just one time, but on every time. Because we know in this life, if you live long enough, you're going to have problems and stuff. I got my eyes checked this past week, and everything's well and good, you know. Well, praise God, my prescription has not changed in decades. It's just a shame that it changed back when it did and didn't stay good. I don't understand that, but it's gone way back. He goes, well, really, you don't need glasses. Change, your prescription is identical to what you had, you know, 2 years ago, and that was the same as it was 5 years ago, blah, 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 blah. And so everything looks good health-wise in the eye. He says, oh, you know, I see, and I said, well, my mom had macular degeneration. Nope, your macular looks good. I said, my dad had like cataracts. Well, you got, you know, the starting of cataracts, but he says, if everybody lives long enough, you're going to, as you get older, you're going to have cataracts, you know, generally. It's just that whatever it is in your eyes. He says, a lot of people have them. I said, well, here he is. I said, I hope I live long, long enough, and I shouldn't have said this, now I'm confessing it, to have cataracts. But it's like, it's one of those things. See, I got sucked into it, Denny. Oh, man, that guy, just, they bring you right into it. It's like, oh, I don't want to claim cataracts. But he'll say, if you live long enough, you'll live. I said, well, I'm going to live long enough, but I'm going to live long enough. And even though the science may be there, I'm not going to rest there, and I'm not going to stop there, you know. But anyway, that's those things that even myself, I fall victims to the enemy, how they subtly tell those things and go, well, I hope I live long enough that I have cataracts. Lord, Scratch that, what I said 3 days ago. Amen. But as we go through things, through many things, there's always going to be a path that probably you're not going to see. And when the enemy thinks they got you right where they want you, you're going to break through that path that God has prepared for you. Remember that story, how he parted the waters. Memories of God's miracles and faithfulness sustained Israel through the difficult times. They knew God was capable and trustworthy. You know, he performed many miracles as they were coming through those times. When you meet your trials, think back on how God helped you in the past challenges that you've had. Doing so is going to strengthen your faith. There's that faith. The miracle of the parting of the Red Sea was handed down from generation to generation to remind the Israelites of God's power, his protection, and his love. The love he has for us. And it works really well if my love I have for him. Remember we talked about the Lord protects all those who love him but destroys the wicked. He destroyed the wicked back in that day. Children crossed through on dry ground even. They didn't even get muddy, amen. Now, I don't know how many of you could go out here to the Rock River and just automatically have all the waters part and just automatically just walk into it and be on dry ground. But if it's a God thing, it'll happen, amen. As you're going through a struggle in your life today, it may look insurmountable. It may be something that you can't even think about. It's going to even come out good. Well, set your mind on things above, amen. Set your mind on God who is there for you and that's there to protect you and guide you and be there for you. And no matter what we go through, we're going to go through it. And many times we're going to have that direction kind of foggy in front of us, or how is it going to work? There's those times that even when everything looks so clear, it's not really clear. And I think those times that begin to cause us we get a little anxiety or apprehensive, like, okay, I'm getting close to the end of this, Lord. I need to hear from you now to find out what's the next 10 steps. And God will say, I'll tell you the next 10 steps when it's time. But I've only got 50 steps left before I hit that wall. That's 50 steps that you got to take. And it might be to where you're right up. Your nose might be right up against that wall, and you're saying, okay, I don't see how this is going to work. God says, just be faithful and stand and watch. And then whatever happens, he's going to do something that you're going to survive that and go through that. Or it could be that you go to that point and you're just by obeying him and saying, okay, I'm standing with my face to the wall. I don't see any place else to go. And he says, just stand in faith and know that I am God and I'm going to take care of it. And instead of making that way for me to continue on, he says, you just stay right here. I'm going to go back and deal with your enemy. Ooh. You don't even need to look back, Tim. You just keep looking at that wall. I'll take care of the rest. And in a short time, he comes up and says, there's nothing coming upon you. The doctor says this about your health. You're healed. You need this procedure? You need that? No, you're not. I took care of it back there. You just remain faithful to stand here and look at a solid wall that God says, you're going to continue on. Wow. That takes faith to stand there. And the nosiness of a lot of us would be like, I wonder what's going on behind me. How close are they now? How close is my enemy? And God says, don't worry about your enemy. Don't worry about your struggles. Don't worry about what the God of this world is trying to put upon you. I will take care of you because you are my children and I love you and I have a plan for you and I've sent my son to die for you and I'm going to see that that fulfills in your life as long as you stay close to me. We started out about that, you know. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call upon him while he is near. And as long as we stay that focused on him, things will turn out for the best. Amen. Hallelujah. But I don't know how I'm going to pay the bill that's behind me. Don't worry about it. Just stay right here. I'll take care of it. Okay. And God has those ways of doing these things. Amen. And the world and the life and so much of this is the world and the God of this world knows that if he can put enough pressures and anxiety upon you, your life physically and health will be destroyed. He doesn't have to do anything else upon you other than give you anxiety. How's it going to work out? Huh? What should I do? Huh? How's it going to happen? Huh? 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 You can't sleep. You can't get rest. We've got to be resting in God. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, as we come to the end of the message, I believe, that you've shared with us here, Lord, we learn more and more to trust you. We come to an understanding that, Lord, we don't have the answer, but you do. And I thank you for being so patient with us and working with us with grace and mercy. But I believe, Lord, we are, as a group here and our body of believers here at Harvesters, Lord, we are going to trust you. We're not looking and focusing on things behind us. I thank you, Lord, as you shared and as it says in Psalm 77:19, that there is a pathway that no one knew was there. I claim that today, Lord, for myself, and if anyone here today would claim that same. Lord, you have a pathway for Tim that Tim doesn't even see, but it's prepared to bring me through. And I receive your word today as active and powerful and for today in my life. There's great stories and testimonies of the things in the past of Israel and the children of Israel and all the things that they went through in the desert or in the wilderness, I should say, Lord, but they came through it. And I too will come through it. We too, as a church body, will come through it. Whatever it is, nothing right now comes to mind, but we walk in your strength, we walk in your provision, we walk knowing we serve God. We serve you. And so thank you for your hand upon us and giving us the encouragement and the courage to stand. And as it says in your word, when all else fails, stand. I think it's one of those things, Lord, as we think of standing, it's like when you stand, you're prepared to go on when it's time. It's not time to sit and relax and lay down and now it's time to go. Oh, I've got to get up, really? No, you just say, stand. When all else fails, stand. And we're going to stand on your word. We're going to stand on your promises. We're going to stand on the things that you have personally, by the Holy Spirit, put within each one of our spirits, Lord, as we are all individual. And you're moving mightily within us. And so thank you, Father, right now, for touching each and every life. And I pray that, Lord, you are pleased with our walk. I pray that we fulfill that call that you have upon us. And I pray, Lord, for this week coming up, that it is going to be a phenomenally good week. I pray health and strength and provision for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.